Monday edition, Mr. Relevant, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Offices, one call, That's All Studios, at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Josh DiMaggio here as well. Producer Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn is back at the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison. 27-2, the final score of preseason game number two for the Green Bay Packers as they fall in Denver to the Broncos last night. Wow. What a waste of everybody's time. What a waste of everybody's time. We stay up late for it. People were making fun of me last week. I said 7 o'clock on a Sunday. That just seems a little anticlimactic, especially for a game in which we know the Packers starters aren't playing in. And anticlimactic doesn't even begin to describe how bad it was. It was, I don't want to say embarrassing, because you were without 31 players. I don't think embarrassing is necessarily the right word. If that's the starters, then yeah, I'm embarrassed. But Jordan Love didn't play. Josh Jacobs didn't play. Christian Watson didn't play. Jair Alexander didn't. Embarrassing isn't the right word. But I don't know how you leave that game thinking to yourself, all right, this team doesn't have a ton of things to work on. Because I'm probably less disappointed in the preseason loss in the way they lost by 25 points, their only points coming on a safety late in the game. I'm probably still more disappointed in the reports we heard from Friday's joint practice against Denver, which is the first team offense couldn't get anything going. And we did this exercise on Friday's show, which was, hey, name a player on the Broncos defense other than Patrick Surtain. Nobody.
Riley Moss.
So it was, yeah, Riley Moss. That's right. You're right, Hunter. Their backup corner. Rookie corner. Yeah, true. I'll give you that one. But 27-2 is as big of a snoozer with no definitive takeaways other than the Packers got their asses kicked. That's the only definitive takeaway I have. I'm not walking away from that one going, oh, yeah, I'm really high on that running back. Emmanuel Wilson, by the way, carrying most of the load. 13 carries, 41 yards, and a long of 15. That's just about 3 yards a carry. Protection sucked. The O-line sucked. Royce Newman played every snap on the offensive line. I think that probably solidified the fact he won't make the roster this year. Nothing offensively to be excited about. Pratt was fine at best. Clifford was bad. The receivers didn't really do much for me. The O-line stunk. Defensively, you have a few things you feel good about, but that's about it. So we're going to do this every week after the Packers game. We'll do stock up, stock down. It's going to be a quick game today. Of stock up, stock down, because there's not a lot of stock ups, but we will start with the leading tackler from last night. That's Tyron Hopper in his first action in the NFL, leading the way for the Packers. 11 total tackles for him, the only player in the game in double digits. He's going to be a special teams guy in his rookie season, the third-round pick out of Missouri. But he's been dealing with an injury, hasn't played yet, gets his first action yesterday, 11 tackles, no crucial misses by him. So, yeah, you like what you saw out of Tyron Hopper. Good, probably the only positive takeaway, maybe outside of Christian Welch, who we'll get to in a second, for the Packers in yesterday's 25-point loss to the Denver Broncos, Hunter.
You think he's going to be a special teams guy, even with Edrin Cooper's injury that he hasn't been on the field for? Like, you don't think he's going to be that number four linebacker, that first guy off the bench kind of a thing, and then Cooper might start the year being more of the special teams guy?
I don't think that right now, and I could be proven wrong, and he'll find his. I would imagine they're going to rotate these guys quite a bit, Hunter, to your point. But no, I view the top four as Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, Eric Wilson, and Edrin Cooper. Hopper could be number five, and I'm sure that would still find him on the field, but I would guess a majority of his contributions this year will come on special teams. I could be wrong on that. right? I mean, you know, that maybe they go forth was a name prior to his concussion last night that we were seeing a lot of, and maybe he solidifies a role in terms of special teams. So I could definitely be wrong. He could be more of a defensive guy than special teams guy, but I know the draft pick was primarily taken with an emphasis on special teams. But after what he did last night, being one of the only positive Packers that we can talk about today, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe he does find his way into that rotation more so. Which, to be real honest with you, after what I watched yesterday, I wouldn't be mad about that. I thought he was good last night. Can't say the same for most players, but we will go to the kicking battle now. Greg Joseph stocked down. Greg Joseph was the only Packers kicker to attempt a kick last night. One field goal attempt. No extra point attempts as they only scored 2 points. And he missed it. Yeah. That will unfortunately give Anders Carlson a leg up in the fight. In the kicking battle, the 47-yard attempt, which is really what you're looking for. Anything inside 50 you need to hit in the preseason, and obviously in the regular season. But Greg Joseph misses a 47-yarder, late in yesterday's game, and it was just the story of what yesterday's game was. But again, you can point to the 31 guys that were out, whatever you want to do. That's fine. I'm not mad that they lost. I'm not really mad in the way in which they lost. It's just, you can't really walk away with any positive takeaways. You can't walk away going, hey, Greg Joseph, maybe our kicker. He's got league experience, made his 47-yarder, right? You might walk away feeling good about him. But now that he misses a kick, which was just exactly what yesterday's game was, you're not feeling better about the kicking battle. You're not happy. Anders Carlson now probably has a little bit of a leg up after Greg Joseph misses an in-game kick. But Anders didn't make any kicks. He didn't get the opportunity yesterday. So this kicking battle that we've always acknowledged is going to be hard to evaluate in the preseason just got a heck of a lot harder with a week left. You've got an open to public practice, I think, tomorrow. You've got one Thursday and a joint practice against the Ravens. You have Saturday's preseason finale. And then you've got to make a choice on your kicking battle. It's either Anders Carlson or Greg Joseph. And Joseph certainly did not further his case to be the starting kicker for the Packers in 2024 by missing a 47-yarder yesterday. So stock down goes to Greg Joseph. How about the pride of Iola, baby? Wisconsin native Christian Welch forcing the turnover. Not forcing, but catching said turnover yesterday. Welch also the second leading tackler, 6 totals, but then the interception as well for Christian Welch as the Iola native and Iowa football alum looks to make the Packers roster again here this year. Entering his 5th season is Welch in the NFL. But a nice move for him. And obviously, when you get one of the game's few highlights for this team's defense that really didn't look very good, allowing 27 points to the Denver Broncos, 7 of which we could probably chalk up to the Packers offense, who couldn't make a tackle on Sean Clifford's interception. You can give a little stock up to Christian Welch, who looks to solidify, speaking of special teams, there's a special teams role for this Packers team, but getting it done on defense. 6 tackles and an interception yesterday for the Iola, Wisconsin native, a Wisconsin guy, Christian Welch. Stock up for him. Last stock down, that we could do probably 10 more, but we're going to make this the final one as we talk about the backup quarterback position. Stock down for Michael Pratt, stock down for Sean Clifford. I don't know how you walk away from that game feeling good about Jordan Love's backup. Now, obviously, backup quarterback is the position where you just hope you never see them. And I feel extra strong about that after last night. I hope I never have to see them. Because when you have a $55 million quarterback. You have a quarterback with MVP aspirations and good MVP odds when you look at sports books. If Jordan Love stays healthy, that's ideal. That would be best case scenario. If you have to see Sean Clifford or Michael Pratt in the regular season, I have no idea how you're feeling good after last night. The thing with Clifford has consistently been, he's a gamer. His practices might not be pretty, but when he gets in the game, he turns it on. No wonder he doesn't look good in the practices. He doesn't look good in the game either. Clifford finishes last night 6 of 10 with an interception. 43 yards total. That is an average of 4 yards per pass. Even worse for Pratt in terms of average throw. 10 of 16, 52 yards, and an average of 3 yards a throw. So stock down for both Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt, and that makes the big discussion today. Should the Packers start to look elsewhere for a backup quarterback? I think they answered our question last year when they didn't bring in a veteran backup. That, hey, you know, with this youth movement, we also want Jordan Love to be the face of our team and the leader of our team. We don't need him to be overshadowed by a, let's use Ryan Tannehill as the example, who's still a free agent. And last year, that made sense. Because as we remember, things weren't pretty through 7 games. The Packers were 2-5, and the man you see on the video stream right now, and who we're just talking about, Sean Clifford, was receiving cheers and tweets and angry fans saying, hey, Clifford should be the starter over Love after 7 weeks last year. But not everybody, but some fans were saying that. And now, 10 months later, we need to have the conversation of, do the Packers need a different quarterback, different backup quarterback? I'm not ready to go that far, but I still think the discussion should probably be had. And I'm not suggesting a Ryan Tannehill, but there are several teams with a good third quarterback right now who you would feel better about than a Sean Clifford or a Michael Pratt. Bailey Zappe, for example, in New England. He might not make the Patriots roster, but he looked pretty good against the Packers when he made his debut 2 years ago. I think there are several names that you can float up. Trey Lance in Dallas had a nice preseason game yesterday. He might be available for cheap, and he's young. This is the discussion that might be being had at 1265 today. Because through 2 games, I don't think you're very impressed with Sean Clifford. And through 2 games, I don't think you're looking at Michael Pratt going, yeah, if Love gets hurt, I'm confident in him. So I'm open to the idea of a 6th-round pick for a backup quarterback or a 5th-round pick. I'm open to the idea of the discussion. I don't think a Ryan Tannehill makes sense. I don't think if a Joe Flacco doesn't make the Colts roster, he makes a ton of sense. But a young guy who has shown some promise, I'm open to the idea, Hunter.
I was just going to ask what you think the Packers should give up, because I was going to bring up the Cowboys have Cooper Rush and Trey Lance on their roster right now. They're only going to really keep one of them. I know you can have the 3rd emergency backup, but I don't see them keeping both. So, like, would you be okay with the Packers giving up a wide receiver or like a interior defensive lineman to the Cowboys to get one of those two? Because, like, I think a lot of these teams that have a 3rd quarterback who, like, legitimately could be a number 2 elsewhere, I think they're going to want an actual piece and not just a draft pick for them because of, like, how valuable a backup quarterback could be.
I wouldn't go that far then. No. I hear what you're saying, but no, unless it's a mid-round pick, preferably a day 3 pick, I'm not interested in it. I'll just roll with Clifford then, or Pratt, depending on the decision they make. But I it's not like I feel very good about either of those guys. And again, protection wasn't great, but each of them were only sacked once. You saw Pratt for the second half plus that final drive in the first half, and you saw Sean Clifford against Broncos starters to begin with in the first quarter, and then, you know, their backups later on, but he was not good. That interception he threw, he did everything wrong. I mean, back foot, overthrew it, threw it directly into a dude's breadbasket. Everything. He was staring at the D-back practically. It was very bad, that interception by Clifford. Now, look, I understand that quarterbacks are prone to bad days and bad games. I get that. But this just doesn't feel like you're really confident in the backup quarterback. So, yeah. Theoretically, I am open to the idea of searching for a new one, but I wouldn't put a ton of assets into it. Cheesehead Bucky says, we got a 6th-round pick, and that's it. I'm fine with that. Well, you've got, I forget what round Clifford was drafted in, 5th round, I think. And then Pratt was a 7th-round pick this year. So maybe a 6th-round pick is the one you hit on. But I don't. don't think you can leave. And tell me on the YouTube chats, on Twitter, whatever, if you feel differently. Maybe I'm overreacting, but I just look. The ideal situation with a backup quarterback is you never see him. But watching an entire game and putting myself through the torture that was Sunday night, I don't feel good about either of those guys. And I'm not calling for them to lose their jobs. Pratt's still a rookie. Clifford's only in his second year. But if Jordan Love goes down, I don't want either of those guys playing more than, you know, let's say he goes down in the second quarter of a game. I don't want them playing any more than two quarters. By the next week, let's do the Scott Tolzien experiment again. Not actually. Let's do the Vince Young or Seneca Wallace experience again. I guess Vince Young was just an offseason signing. Take a shot on a guy that's, you know, shoot. Is Zach Wilson going to be available? You know, Bo Nix and Jarrett Stidham might be their two quarterbacks they hang on to. Zach Wilson had a touchdown pass in last night's game. You know who didn't? Michael Pratt, Sean Clifford, the Green Bay Packers at all. The only points they scored were on a safety. It was bad. Really bad. And I get it's a preseason game. I get Matt LaFleur wasn't calling the plays. I understand all this. But to not walk away from that one with, oh boy, they might be in trouble there. In your head? I think we're overlooking it. We're overlooking a serious issue. So hopefully we never have to deal with it, right? Like hopefully, you know, if they don't go a route of trading for somebody or signing somebody, if they go the route of, hey, we're hanging on to Clifford, we're hanging on to Pratt, we're going to keep three quarterbacks. You just hope Jordan Love's healthy for all 17 and shoot, hopefully he's healthy for all 20 or 21. That's just what you hope for. But I don't feel good about that battle. I thought they had a real battle going. But as you're watching last night against the Denver Broncos, are you thinking, oh, yeah, that's a competitive battle? No! It's a mid-off. Mid-off. Hunter, go ahead.
You know, I think this also points to my feelings on the game was that I don't feel good about the depth outside of wide receiver for this whole team. Like, I understand that there's a stretch where they're going up against Denver's ones, but your twos are going to play against ones at times in this season. Like, that's going to happen because you have to give guys rest. So you need to be able to go out there and compete for a couple of plays, and I never felt that way. And then when it was twos against twos, they got outplayed by a team that we talked about it last week. I don't know anybody on that defense. I barely know anybody on that Broncos offense. And you can't get outplayed like that by a team that's going to be scratching their way to maybe finishing third in their division when you're expecting to try and win your division. Like, that's not good enough, and I'm really worried about the depth for this team. And if somebody goes down, I don't feel good about anybody else stepping in to be able to play four or five games in their place. And that's not a good feeling to have through two preseason games.
Yeah, you know, like, some of the names, especially defensively, that you saw didn't really pop up, right? The Lucas Van Esses, the Kingsley Enagbares, the Carl Brookses of the world. Evan Williams early made a play, but other than that, he clearly didn't have a game like he did a week ago. Cheesehead Bucky chimes in. I feel great about the safety and Dean line depth. I tend to agree, right? I mean, although you didn't see a great Devontae Wyatt play or a great Lucas Van Ness play, I still like the depth they have there. Carl Brooks, as everybody knows, I'm very high on him. Colby Wooden I like a lot. But I didn't see anything that made me go, wow, from those guys early in that game. Safety, I also feel really good about. No Xavier McKinney, no Javon Bullard, but you did have Evan Williams a little bit early. I love the depth they have there. I'm just excited to see it all come together. I still have faith in this defense. Don't get me wrong, right? Like, I still have faith in the Jeff Hafley defense. There is and, you know, I see Cheesehead Bucky chiming in on this. I saw Brad Nortman tweeted this as well. There is a big, big difference in the NFL versus being a backup or a player in the NFL versus being a starter in the NFL. There is a big difference. So without any of them on the field yesterday, I understand why you would say, hey, yeah, I'm not that concerned. Because, again, it's not about the 2 points, the lack of points they scored. That's not really where my argument lies. It just never looked pretty. It looked painful the entire game. And when you get down to the end of it, you know, Hopefully it's over and done with. She's at Bucky saying, I don't think Wyatt played. Hunter, you want to pop up that list? I don't know. 31 guys didn't play, so he may not have. Their best 31 players didn't play. No Devontae Wyatt yesterday. You are correct. I'm just going to read through some of the names I may have missed otherwise. You know, no Edrin Cooper, as we mentioned off the top. Donovan Jennings, one of the few non-starters that did not start. Tucker Kraft, still dealing, or still trying to come back from his injury, did not start technically the second defensive end. So, yeah, four defensive linemen, Preston Smith, T.J. Slayton, Devontae Wyatt, Kenny Clark, did not play. Rashawn Gary, the fifth, that didn't play from the D-line. So, yeah, there you go. There you go. So, interesting. Another guy that didn't play, though, as you saw on that list, number 28, the running back, A.J. Dillon. I want to get into the A.J. Dillon stuff coming up next because I am I'm not as sold that his position is as secure as everybody on the internet is saying it is. And maybe I'll be proven completely wrong. But it is a an interesting situation. He's one of the few non-starters that did not play yesterday. One of 31 players that the Packers did not send out there against the Denver Broncos. Is there more to the A.J. Dillon situation? We dive into that next. But first, got to tell you about my friends at Door County Distillery. Ooh, the bourbon got broken out this weekend. The Door County Distillery bourbon got broken out on Saturday. My niece's birthday party. Me and her pops, my brother, had a few bourbons. From the best, Door County Distillery, DoorCountyDistillery.com for a huge list of unique cocktail recipes, the retailer nearest you, and all the in-betweens. If you're heading up to Door County, stop in at Door County Distillery in Carlsville or bring Door County to you. Tailgate season about to be in full swing, baseball and football going on at the same time. And a pretty good baseball team, by the way, playing in Milwaukee. We'll talk about them a little bit later. DoorCountyDistillery.com is the website. We step aside for 60 seconds. We talk about the A.J. Dillon situation. Coming up next, it's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Rowe. Back in Carlsville at the legendary Door County Distillery with my buddy Rob from Door County Distillery. And we have a Door County Distillery exclusive in front of us right now, Rob. Cherries, bourbon, two of my favorite things. Put them together. You got right. Door County Distillery beautiful. Cherry bourbon. It's beautiful. We're just doing shots?
Yeah. We're just going to celebrate. Straight up. I mean, it is good for mixed drinks. You put it in old fashions, Manhattans, but sometimes you just want to straight up take a little shot of it.
I won't complain about that. Like I said, two of my favorite things, cherries, bourbon, Door County cherries, bourbon. I can't complain. Yeah. Cheers to you, buddy. Thanks Cheers. A lot.
Prost.
Ooh, that's tasty. Oh, that's good.
Yep.
That's really smooth.
Get that cherry flavor. Yep. Not a whole lot of burn. Beautiful.
That's terrific. Door County Distillery exclusive, the cherry bourbon.
Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. All right, let's dive into this A.J. Dillon thing. Because, look, if you didn't play yesterday and you weren't listed as an injury, you're locked in the 53. And I think that could be the case with A.J. Dillon. Although we spent last week talking about how he couldn't get a yard. 4 carries, 2 yards in the opener against Cleveland. He's had that issue where he just, Quadzilla can't find his footing. You draft Marshawn Lloyd in the third round. You bring in Josh Jacobs. You're high on Emmanuel Wilson, who played a majority of last night's game. It seems to me like that spells out A.J. Dillon's going to make the roster. However, I do want to throw up my tweet because accountability is important. I did tweet this during the first quarter of last night's game. The A.J. Dillon thing is really odd to me. He's not a starter, but scratched for tonight's game. Wayne Larrabee and Larry McCarron on the radio network briefly mentioned something about him having, quote, altitude issues, end quote, in the joint practice. And that's why he's being held out. Is he definitely making the 53 or something else? Now, Matt LaFleur was not asked about A.J. Dillon after the game. So, I assume a lot of people are on the same page if that means he's making the 53 as the backup running back, which wouldn't surprise me, but also if he was the fourth running back, it wouldn't surprise me. So, the comment that was kind of made in passing, I was driving back from Green Bay, and I heard the mention in the pregame that A.J. Dillon was having some issues breathing at Friday's joint practice, and that popped up, but he was just listed as a healthy scratch. He had 15 carries at Denver last year, so he's played in the altitude before. This probably tells me he's making the 53 no problem. And they might try to stash Emmanuel Wilson on the P squad and leave that as an opportunity if maybe Dylan's not delivering or Lloyd isn't delivering, maybe they bring Emmanuel Wilson up at some point in the season, or obviously if an injury hits. So I would guess, I'm leaning towards the fact that A.J. Dillon is probably safe. But that comment about the altitude issues, him not being a starter and getting sick, you know, it just felt weird to me. I had my Brian Windhorst meme going off of maybe there's more to this situation in Green Bay. IROC on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat. A.J. locked in. The Packers didn't forget what he did for us last year due to Aaron Jones missing most of the season. He's a bruiser back that no one wants to tackle in November and December. IROC, I'm with you, but I just want you to understand. I hope you didn't forget what A.J. Dillon did or did not do when Aaron Jones was out last season. It's not like he was electric. It's not like he was even great. He averaged 3 yards a carry last year. His best game was against the Chiefs. In that Sunday night win, 18 carries, 73 yards. He was good that night. But other than that, the Pittsburgh game, he was okay. Rams, he wasn't very good. Denver, he was fine. Raiders, Raiders was actually probably his best game of the year. That's where one of his only two touchdowns on the year came from, was in that Raiders game early, and that was shortly after Aaron Jones was injured. 20 carries, 76 yards and a touchdown that lost to the Raiders last year. But other than that, like, Dillon, he's not great at staying on his feet. We haven't really seen A.J. Dillon in December since 2020 against the Tennessee Titans. And maybe I'm too negative on him. But as it stands right now, I don't love the decision they sat him yesterday. I would have liked to see him and Emmanuel Wilson getting carries in the first half. And then you can go to your Ellis Merriweathers of the world, you know, in the second half and into the fourth quarter. But my biggest issue with yesterday's game was there was no A.J. Dillon. They are clearly much higher on Dillon than I am, because A.J. Dillon has not proven to me that he is deserving of the second running back role. Now, Marshawn Lloyd being injured doesn't help that case. I really like what we've seen this preseason, for the most part, out of Emmanuel Wilson. Now, again, the offensive line was atrocious last night, so I don't put a ton of stock into his lack thereof production. It's not like he was amazing yesterday, but I thought he was really good last week against Cleveland. 13 carries, 67 yards, and a touchdown in the preseason opener. I think Emmanuel Wilson can be a really good back in the NFL at some point. And it seems like they're going to get rid of, maybe not get rid of, but probably try to stash him on the practice squad, Emmanuel Wilson. Let's not overreact to a game where Packer backups played Bronco starters. I'm not overreacting, William, on the ESPN Milwaukee chat. I think we're just talking about things that do matter, right? The quarterback, the backup quarterback battle, I think that matters. I think A.J. Dillon not playing matters. I think that tells you he's safe on the 53, and I just don't know that I'm ready to agree with that decision given what we've seen out of Dillon the last year. The groundhog has arrived. The head has popped up of Joshy DiMaggio. I don't know what I said that caught his ear. Joshy, the floor is yours.
It actually wasn't anything you said. I don't have to critique you for any reason. I'm very interested in the sort of the burying of the head approach of many Packer fans right now. I think we all intuitively understand it is the preseason. There were 31 guys sitting out for the Packers. Right. There's guys who aren't even the starter that were sitting out because they're important to the function of the team moving forward.
Totally.
To not say, like, viewing Matt LaFleur's reactions, the way he handled that process, I mean, just the fact that that was unwatchable football. That was a Thursday night Jaguars-Titans special where they don't have a starting quarterback. This is pre Trevor Lawrence Jaguars. Like, this is, it wasn't good. It didn't look good.
Yeah.
You didn't really come away impressed with much of anything. There was a few good plays that made you go, oh, that was nice.
Yeah, a couple, maybe.
But even when it was second string versus second string or third string versus third string, the Packers still looked outmatched for much of the game.
Yeah, they didn't look good.
So, I mean, you have to react to the information you have. We reacted very positively for three plays for Jordan Love, and negatively when the Packers didn't perform, really, at any facet. What was the biggest strength? What was the best thing that happened last night?
The best thing that happened, probably the Christian Welch interception, maybe the safety.
And Christian Welch's roster bubble? He might be like the fifth guy in?
Yeah. He's
just because they're unsure of the depth with Cooper and Hopper?
Yeah, he's probably guy 52. They like his special teams ability.
Yeah.
He's a Wisconsin guy, so I like that tie, the pride of Iola. But yeah, he's probably the roster guy 52, 53. Yeah. He's at the very back end.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean.
I was also disappointed with the wide receivers. We've talked about the depth. 1 through 4, obviously, we're pretty sure are all pretty damn good.
Yep.
But, I mean, Malik Heath looks like he belongs, and DuBose looked like he didn't. And that was kind of the opposite last week.
Yeah, DuBose was stocked down after yesterday.
Yeah, and what do you do with that? Like, well, now that position's, you thought you were leaning one way, and now it's back up in the air. And I don't know if you know this.
Uh-oh.
Have you looked at the calendar?
I have.
The game against the Eagles is getting close.
We are 19 days away, I believe.
Yeah.
Less than that, actually.
Going to need to figure that out.
19 days away, yeah.
Going to need to figure that out.
Yeah. 18 days away. Bad math.
I just refuse, and I mean, I guess this is always my process, and you've had told me to calm down about stuff probably 4 or 5 times now.
Oh, really?
My short presence here. But, like, results matter and things matter. What you see play out on a football field does matter. Some matters more than others.
I am excited for Wednesday's edition of Mr. Irrelevant. I guess I should probably announce this at some point. I am off the rest of the week. I've got my college roommates getting married. I'm taking a little pre-football season vacay, doing a little tour of the state. I think I might try to hit up joint practice on Thursday morning between the Ravens and the Packers. And then I'll be all over the state the rest of the weekend. But Joshy DiMaggio will have the floor all day on Wednesday.
I have a request.
Yeah.
If you do attend, I would like your 3 bullet points. Just text to me. I can read them out to the Mr. Irrelevant crew.
Okay.
I would just like to read off what you observed if you do end up viewing practice.
Okay. I'm not positive that I will be going, but
hey,
I
if
might.
It doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. But I would like to bring some Stroth flavor to the Joshy DiMaggio edition.
Well, the issue with that is you're filling in Wednesday, joint practice is Thursday.
Oh, boy.
But
yeah.
Tony Cartagena is going to fill in Friday. You might still be around. So if
I'll probably help out just to make sure things go well.
Thank you for your service.
Uh-huh.
I will text you my bullet points. You can fit them into Friday's episode with Tony Cartagena. So we're still going to have a show Wednesday, Friday. It just won't be with me.
Scheduled to appear, Justice Mosqueda from Acme Packing Company.
Joining you Wednesday?
Wednesday. We're going to talk some Packers. Haven't talked to him since the draft, so always, you know, he's smarter than all of us when it comes to football.
Yes, yes,
so I like to hear what he has to say.
Yeah, he's very good. We referenced, he's the whole reason for your Dontavian Wicks drama, because he's the one who tallied the snap counts.
He's that dirty devil counting them.
Yeah, he did the snap counts on Family Night, and that was the article we kept referencing.
Uh-huh.
So you might have to ask him about Dontavian Wicks.
You know I'm going to.
Okay, good. Yeah. Just making sure. I need a Dontavian Wicks thing. So anyway, Joshy Wednesday, Tony Cartagena with the Friday. We're still going to have shows. I'm just off the rest of the week. I'll be back with you next Monday to react to the preseason finale. And Joshy, when do you think we get roster cuts? Preseason finale Saturday. Do you think Monday we'll have the 53? I don't know when the deadline is this year, but I would guess it is early next week, probably Monday or Tuesday of next week, that we will have the final 53 and a few practice squad guys. And we'll have an answer, right? Like, who will be the kicker to enter the Packers season? We should have, I would guess, by mid next week at the latest, but Joshy is working hard on the internet over there to find us our exact answer of when roster cutdowns are due. But from past years, I do remember it's usually a day or two after the final preseason game that the Packers get them up. They're usually one of the quicker teams to get down to their 53. They waste no time following that preseason finale. So I don't know if there is an exact deadline, Hunter or Joshy, if either of you have the answer.
Final cutdown day is August 27th. Now,
so that is a week from tomorrow.
Yes, I realized it. You're not required to cut really anybody before final cutdowns day. That changed because I remember back in my days on ESPN Madison, there was like, you had to kind of trim step by step.
Yeah, you went like 90 to 85, I think, and then 85 to 75, maybe.
Yeah,
you did cut throughout the preseason, but now with only 3 games, you carry all 90.
Yeah, so it appears, they're just final cuts. And I don't imagine the Packers, unless there's like a veteran guy hanging around that they think could probably catch on and they want to do him a favor, but I don't even know who that is at this point. The Packers don't have many of those guys bouncing around on the roster anywhere.
Yeah.
So I would imagine this team's going to look pretty solid until the 27th. By the way, my birthday, put it in your calendar. It's a big day.
It is in my calendar, actually. I do have it in my calendar because you share a birthday with somebody. Here, I'll look. Tuesday, the 27th, Chad H/Josh DB Day in my calendar.
Shout out Chad H.
Chad Hopper, one of our legendary sales.
The Chopper.
He is a he's a Bears fan, but there is somebody with his last name on the Packers. So I think we should get him a Tyron Hopper jersey for his birthday. Just an idea.
Crowdfund that. I don't want to.
Crowdfund that. I'm with you. I did buy each of my nieces Jordan Love jerseys over the weekend. You know, one just turned 4, the other's a year and a half. Want to guess how much 2 Jordan Love jerseys ran me at the Packers Pro Shop?
Especially for youths? Like, is it cheaper for a youth than it is?
A normal jersey? Yes, yeah. It is. A little bit.
A little bit. So that's kind of what I was thinking. So a normal price is like, what, 160 if it's authentic?
They weren't stitched. They were just the
stickers.
Okay,
so then you probably like paid 75.
They were about 60 apiece.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it totaled just over 120. But I got my 4-year-old niece, I got her a black one. I didn't know they sold black jerseys now in the pro shop. So black jersey, green numbers, yellow outline. They look pretty sweet. I wish they would wear those again.
Did you get 2 of the same jerseys?
No, I got the little one, just a normal green jersey. I got the older one, a black jersey.
That's risky. Whenever you're dealing with siblings, if you're buying them both something, you usually just got to match.
Well, that's what gift receipts are for.
I mean, that's personal stories from an identical twin. They usually want separate things because they don't want to be viewed as the same person. And I know your nieces aren't identical twins, but I think kids actually want their own identity. So good job.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Josh and Hunter are feuding over which way is the way to go. So Hunter, for the record, is married to an identical twin.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. He is not married to both, just one of the two.
Yeah. This isn't Utah.
Goodness.
Pop.
It's a good pop. So that is where the frame of reference is coming from. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm just always under the impression of even when, I mean, identical twins, I understand, because they literally get mistaken for one another, I imagine, still to this day. Oh, but when, like, what if the young one doesn't like it and gets mad and cries? And then your sister and brother... I don't know which is the one in law there, but then they have to deal with one of the kids being unhappy, and that is, you're just setting a little fire for them. Maybe it works out great. It could. Yeah. Maybe they're just nice kids, but I've seen that go off the rails with, I have 2 cousins who are very similar in age, and if one of them got something the other one wanted and theirs was different, that was Meltdown City.
Meltdown City. There you go. All right, well, I'll keep you posted. Gift receipts are good, though. I did give gift
very
receipts.
Smart move, yes.
Yeah. Just in case we didn't like it. So anyway, curious on your thoughts on the AJ Dillon situation. Joshy and Hunter would like to get your thoughts real quick. Joshy, is he definitely making the final 53 after yesterday's move?
Yeah, that's been the impression I've been operating under to this point, especially with Marshawn Lloyd missing time and continuing to miss time. I just think there's no chance they move on from him because of his cost.
He's cheap.
Very cheap to keep around. And even though his performances, we all kind of get upset with the lack of production, never really getting anything extra, the Packers know exactly what they got, and there is some value to that. Like, I do think we kind of forgot the investment. We forget the investment the Packers made at that position. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't imagine their plan is for Lloyd not to be a factor at any point of the season. Maybe that's second half of the season. And with Josh Jacobs, like, he's bell cow. Like, there's Derrick Henry, and then there's Josh Jacobs and Christian McCaffrey. Those are, like,
same
the
tree.
Guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So, I don't think it's going to matter as much as some people are concerned with it mattering. I think he's just a good body to keep around, a good guy to keep around.
You more worried about backup running back or backup quarterback?
Probably quarterback, just because the amount of quarterbacks we've seen miss time in the past couple of years. Like, how many starters missed time last year? It was a lot.
It was an all-time high last year. Yeah.
So to me, that is always a factor. We are worrying about backups, which is a luxury to be in because you have Jordan Love. But I mean, Sean Clifford's not good. He's never been good. I don't know why that, like, that experiment was doomed to fail from the beginning to me.
Mm-hmm.
So the Packers probably overdrafted him. They saw something. The scouting team saw something that pretty much no one else has seen.
Yeah, it's so. Well said. Hunter, what do you think? Backup quarterback or backup running back?
Well, before I answer, I do need to admit something about the AJ Dillon stuff. I need to
Uh-oh.
Be better.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I need to be better at, like, reading your tweets, because I was tired. I had weird headache Sunday, but I read your tweet and thought that it said attitude issue. And didn't really, I was just like, oh, we're going to talk about this. I'll find out what this is about on Monday. And then I see you have Dylan on our list of things to talk about. So I'm like, oh, this will be interesting. Didn't realize that it was actually altitude in your tweet
altitude.
Until you read it out loud. So
now,
definitely
in your defense,
changes.
In your defense, hold on. You wear glasses.
Yep.
So
I didn't have them
there
on.
Are vision issues.
Yeah.
You do have vision issues,
yep.
As do I. I wear contacts every day. So, A, we could chalk it up to that, right? The L and the T look a little bit alike in small text. I actually think you're fine. I'm going to give you a clear pass here. It was altitude issues, though, not attitude issues, just to make sure we fix that.
Okay, good. Still knowing that, I'm going to go the backup quarterback. It's just, from personal experience as a Cowboys fan, having a backup you can rely on is great. I mean, it's literally what launched Tony Romo's career. It's what launched Dak's career. It got the Cowboys into the playoffs with Cooper Rush winning games for them while Dak was out. That is huge. So anytime you can, if you can upgrade your backup quarterback position, I think you need to do it in the NFL. And I think there were a number of times where even Emmanuel Wilson last night, I was like, oh, that's going to be a 10-yard run. And then all of a sudden the guard would lose their guy and he's getting hit at the line or in the backfield. And I'm like, well, that sucks. He's going to watch the tape and see a giant hole that literally as he was about to hit it is all of a sudden filled up. I think the running back position is going to be fine. They've got to figure out backup quarterback. When Sean Clifford is rolling out from the far hash mark to the sideline, and he still won't throw the ball away and then holds on to it to try and find somebody open and takes a sack for a 7-yard loss. I'm like, dude, I know not to do that. You can't be making that mistake in your second year in the NFL. They've got to figure out their backup quarterback situation because it could cost them games. The same way the kicker probably will if they don't have that figured out. I think the backup quarterback, with how many quarterbacks can come in the NFL, could cost them a game or two. And that could be the difference between winning the division or having to go on the road to San Francisco or something in the wild card round. And that's not going to be good.
Yeah, you're totally right about that. We will see. I'm with you guys, by the way. Backup quarterback concerns me more. But I do like the depth they have at running back. I'm just a little bit worried about the durability. Marshawn Lloyd already dealing with injuries. Jacobs has missed some times in years past, but he's usually pretty durable. Cowbell. Is that what you said, Joshy? Cowbell?
Bell cow.
Is what he is? Bell cow?
It's cowbell.
It's Monday.
You don't know.
I know bell cow. I don't know why, but I was saying cowbell. And I was like, that doesn't sound right.
Nope. Not it.
Bell cow. Kelbow.
I mean, it does. It is the same thing. A bell cow is literally
a cow that wears a bell.
Yeah. It's because it's the leader of the herd.
Oh, wow.
You can find them all at.
How much time have you spent on a farm?
More time than you'd think.
Okay.
My grandma owned horses, ducks, geese. All sorts of strange animals. They have
ducks and horses. Interesting.
They have lots of property there. And then two of my friends, very good, very big farmers. They've run farms their whole life. So most of it was spent there kind of messing around. But I've witnessed all of the farming happening.
You watched it.
Uh-huh.
You watched it in progress. Okay, I got you.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Farmer Josh.
I haven't been out in the fields picking any produce or anything along those lines.
I used to pick rocks in the summer. Make a quick buck.
Yeah.
That was always fun. Really.
Anyway. Not the word I would have used to describe doing that, but okay.
No, me neither. All right. How about we talk about the hottest team in baseball, shall we?
Yeah.
The Milwaukee Brewers have won 5 in a row, a weekend sweep of the Cleveland Guardians at AmFam Field, who had, entering that series, the best record in baseball. A 2-1 win, thanks to Freddy Peralta on Saturday. A 2-0 win, thanks to Colin Ray yesterday. We discussed last week, if this team is going to make some noise in the postseason, their arms need to be working, especially in that starting rotation. And Hunter suggested, I believe this was either Wednesday or Friday show, that you could go with the quote-unquote opener in the postseason and just ride your bullpen arms, which could work in a game or two. But you really need two or three pitchers that are pitching well entering the postseason. I think you feel good about Freddie after Saturday. He hasn't been Freddie all year, But you need Freddie to be Freddie in September and October. Colin Ray allowed 4 home runs last week in his start against the Los Angeles Dodgers. How does he respond? He does what he did yesterday. He went into the 8th inning. He brought a no-hitter into the 6th inning. And a shutout win for Colin Ray yesterday. Quite a bounce-back performance. The Brewers have now won 5 in a row, all at home, but all against first-place teams. They won their final 2 to end last week's series with the Dodgers. They swept the Guardians over the weekend. They are now 20 games over 500. They have the second-best record, I believe, in not only the National League, or in the National League, but they have one of the best records in all of baseball, and the 5th-best record in all of baseball. Now, the same record as the Cleveland Guardians, so really tied for 4th-best record. As the Philadelphia Phillies, 73-51. The Orioles, Dodgers, and Yankees are all 73-52. And right behind them, the Guardians and the Brewers at 72-52. The Brewers are 1 game back of the best record in the major leagues. That's how good they've been. They've had 100 different starters. They had another guy record a save yesterday. I think that's number 9 or number 10 of the year for somebody that has recorded a save for the Brewers. They've had so many different pieces, both offensively and defensively, make contributions this year. And it's just working under Pat Murphy. They're finding new ways to win. It is the Packers-like youth movement for the Brewers, and it is working. Look, you might have gone into last week's series with the Dodgers saying, yeah, they can't perform with the big boys. Especially after they lost the first 2, you're probably saying, yeah, you know, it's probably Brewers getting to the postseason and losing the 2nd round again. If they get to the DS, might be a wild card exit. And now, just 5 days later, you're going, whoa, this team can compete. Hunter, you said last week you feel good about them in a 5-game series against the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They just beat the team who had, at the time, the best record in baseball. They swept them over the weekend. This is a team that belongs, and they certainly look like it here in the middle of August.
Absolutely. I mean, especially now after getting those 2 games and with getting this sweep, they're right in a spot where they can get that 1 or that 2 spot in the NL, and by doing that, they're going to force the Dodgers to have to come to Milwaukee, and that's huge. And this team just feels different. I've been seeing a bunch of stuff on Twitter. It's been really funny, of articles back when Craig Counsell left and he went to the Cubs, about how, you know, pundits are saying that, oh, the Brewers are finished. The best thing about the Brewers is gone. They're going to be devastated because of this.
Mm-hmm.
They got a 10.5 game lead on the Cubs. They, like, it's great. And this team is just feels different. They're playing looser. I saw another article where, you know, Jackson Churio earlier in the year, he was having some struggles. And they're like, instead of getting on his case about it, they're like, no, we're going to shower him with praise. We're going to make him feel confident. And all of a sudden, he's not having as many of those at-bats where he starts out with a 0-2 count. Pat Murphy knows how to manage a team. He's manager of the year, hands down. I feel so confident about this team heading into the postseason.
Good. Yeah, good. You still got some time left, but this division is in their pocket. They've got an 11-game lead on the Cardinals, 11.5 game lead on the Cubs, who are a half game back of the Cardinals in 3rd place. Reds, 12 games back. Pirates in last place, 13.5 games back of the Brewers. Brewers, 20 games over 500, as mentioned, 72-52. Look, you feel good about 3 of their arms, at least. Right? You feel good about, as mentioned, Peralta and Ray. But you feel pretty good about Tobias Myers, too. In his rookie year, he's had a nice come up as well. So, you know, we will see as their arms continue to rotate. But I mean, I don't know how you don't feel good about where they're at. So we will see. But, you know, to have Devin Williams back, to have William Contreras and Willie Adames swinging the bat the way they have all year, you feel good about your outfield. Between Frelick and Churio, and you wish Yelich was healthy, obviously, but Garrett Mitchell back in rotation now playing center. You're feeling really good about where this team is at after those 5 wins. So now they head to St. Louis beginning tomorrow. They get the off day today, but this is a first-place team with, I mean, they've still got plenty of schedule left. Their season finale is over a month away, September 29th, the final game for the Brewers. But they've got a cushy lead. And they're playing really well against good competition. Or they finally did. That was something they kind of struggled with all year. But over the weekend and late last week, with two wins over the Dodgers and a sweep of the at the time, the best record in Major League Baseball, the Cleveland Guardians, that is a team to be excited about. Now, we call Hunter the doomsday fan. You just heard the optimism in Hunter's voice. This is a team you should feel good about. And damn, if they've been fun. We've said all year, if you're not watching, start watching. This is a damn fun team to watch. Really fun team to watch. Frankie Montas will go tomorrow against the Cardinals to start that series. You'll also see Tobias Myers and Freddie Peralta this series for the Brewers. They go to the A's over the weekend, so hopefully an easy sweep there. And then they return home next week on Tuesday after another off day next Monday to host the San Francisco Giants Tuesday through Thursday. A lot of homestands, by the way, in September. They go on the road a few times. They have one West Coast road trip in San Francisco and Arizona, and then they go to Pittsburgh for three, and otherwise it's all home games in September for the Brewers. So down the stretch, a lot of home games too, which is a really positive sign for a team that's looking to hit their stride. So I am really excited about that team. I watched a lot of baseball this weekend. Yesterday was, okay, I know I complained. I bitched and moaned about the 7 o'clock start time for the Packers. But it was kind of nice that I could watch the Brewers game in Green Bay, drive back to Milwaukee, and still catch the entire Packers game. Kind of an ideal sports schedule yesterday. I was able to watch both of them in full. So, anyway. All right, there's your Brewers talk. More Brewers talk to come maybe later this week. Joshy, Tony Cartagena, maybe they'll get their seam head on later in the week. But that'll do it for me this week as we wrap up the show. As we always do, you learn something new every day. We learn something new over the weekend. Hunter, what'd you learn?
I learned that Wisconsin women's volleyball, the top 25 preseason came out, and they've got a really tough schedule. So they're ranked number 3 in the country, which is awesome. Super excited about that. Their exhibition match against Bradley is tomorrow night, and you can hear it on ESPN Madison, as we will have that one on. But they play 11 top 25 teams this year. That is crazy. They're going to be well-tested going into the postseason. So we're going to know exactly what this team is really quickly, since they do play Texas and Stanford and Louisville, all top 10 teams. Super excited about volleyball starting up tomorrow night. But, yeah, tough schedule for the Badgers.
Tough schedule, but that's a good thing. And I know that's the point you're making. In case you missed the news, your new home for Badgers volleyball. I just bit my tongue in the middle of that. I don't know if you heard me stutter there for a minute. Whoa. I haven't bit my tongue in months. If you missed the news, your new home for Badgers volleyball, 100.5 ESPN in Madison, 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee, and 1430 ESPN in Beaver Dam, the new home of Badgers volleyball. Hunter will be the executive producer of that network. So shout out to Hunter on another cool career opportunity for him, which begins tomorrow night, exhibition game against the Bradley Braves. And you can hear that Pete Waite, John Arias on the call on the Badgers volleyball network. I can't roll my R's. I know I said it wrong. But can you say it again, Hunter?
It's John Arias.
I can't roll my R. That's, Arias. I can't do it. Joshy, can you?
Arias.
Yeah, that's better than I can do it. Arias. Yes, it sounds weird. It sounds like I'm trying too hard. Anyway.
Just say it with a D. Try saying it with a D and then see how that goes.
Like Arias?
There you go.
Yeah.
That sounds closer.
All right, got it. Arias. We're going to get John on the show, and we're going to get to the bottom of this here in the next couple weeks as we lead up to Badgers volleyball season. Go ahead, Joshy.
I learned that the Team USA flag football quarterback, who's 5'7", finds it disrespectful that that the NFL players would just assume they could come in and play in the Olympics.
I did see this. Yeah, I did see this.
Get a grip, buddy.
He's 5'7".
5'7".
Short king.
You don't think Patrick Mahomes would just show up and take his job automatically?
Shoot, forget Patrick Mahomes.
Lamar Jackson's the
Sean
way to
Clifford.
Go.
Sean Clifford would show up and take his job.
Here's a fun game. What's the worst quarterback that we think would be a better option?
Well, Sean Clifford's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Zach Wilson.
Who's worse, Sean Clifford or Zach Wilson?
Probably
Wilson, but
yeah,
maybe not.
I think I've just seen much of Zach Wilson. So, like, we know what he is.
It's hard to figure out.
Trey Lance.
Trey Lance is far better than both of them.
Who is the pick six guy from Buffalo? Nathan Peterman?
Nathan Peterman, yeah. Yeah, he's not even in the league anymore, and I'd still take him.
Yep.
So, it's fair. Yeah, so are NFL players going to play in flag football?
I would doubt it.
Okay.
I would bet there would be, it would be like the just out of the NFL guys who probably, once that
so who's going to be done in 4 years? Kelsey?
No, I'm saying like the not good enough to currently be.
Oh, so like UFL.
Yeah.
UFL, type CFL type players. I bet they find a way.
Indoor football league. Yeah. Yes. Max Myler from Mount Horeb High School just made it to the Eastern Conference Championship game with the Green Bay Blizzard. How's that for a fun fact?
What's with people who are in and involved around the Olympics?
We might need to.
What's with Noah Lyles? He went on Club Shay Shay or whatever it is.
Yeah, I did see that.
To complain that basically he's just jealous that professional sports players in America get more attention than Olympians.
Yeah, it's a jealousy thing. It's an ego thing.
Do people not realize that it comes off so poorly?
probably not, but I think Noah Lyles is taking an approach like Conor McGregor style of I'm just going to say stuff and hope it generates buzz for people to watch me, and maybe it does. It might work. I don't know.
I mean, perhaps.
It won't make me turn it on.
I didn't know that track and field needed a heel, but I don't think he wants to be the heel either. That's the difference between him and Conor McGregor.
I think he wants to be the heel. USAFE on YouTube, by the way, throwing out Tim Tebow as a name for the flag football team.
You could run that's, some fun option.
That's an option right there. that's a fun option. I like that. All right. What I learned is it is starting quarterback season. Teams starting to name their starters for the upcoming NFL season. So we can no longer play the game of, oh, yeah, who's the quarterback out there this year? We're out of that time period. We are now in, hey, we know who the starters are. In Washington, coming across within the last hour, the Commanders have named Jaden Daniels their starting quarterback, expected, but now official out in Washington. And out in Vegas, a starting quarterback being named last week, or over the weekend, rather. And that is none other than the one and only Gardner Minshew will be the starting quarterback for the Raiders to start the 2024 season. So Minshew mania continues out in Vegas. That's like a perfect market for him to thrive. He's got one of, if not the best receiver in football, in Devontae Adams on his team. So maybe we have like a Gardner Minshew revival tour here in 2024 as he will be the main starter for the Raiders to start the season. The other one is Jaden Daniels. I did a hit out on 980 The Team in D.C. the day after that Jordan Love signed his contract. My buddy Denton Day, who's a sports talk host out in D.C., invited me on his show over the weekend that Love signed. And while we talked Love and contract and quarterback expectations, they also brought me on because I'm a Packers fan. And they wanted to talk about, hey, what's it like being spoiled at that position your entire life, pal? Something we're not familiar with at all. And we talked about the potential of Jaden Daniels and the buzz he's creating and the excitement he has. Commanders fans think they have the real deal in Jaden Daniels. And he's already been named the starter as I mentioned today. I'm rooting for Jaden Daniels. I like Jaden Daniels. He was really fun to watch at LSU. He had a really great season a year ago. I'm excited to see how that translates into the NFL, but we will see it right from the get-go. The beauty of what the Packers have had is they've been able to develop quarterbacks and throw them in after a couple of years sitting on the bench in Rodgers and Love. Washington and a lot of other teams don't have that beauty, right? You draft a guy, you start him, and hopefully he takes off like C.J. Stroud did. The Commanders will be one of many teams that do that, by the way. I would anticipate, obviously, the Bears and Caleb Williams. You saw Bo Nix yesterday. I would guess he's the starter for Denver. Drake May probably going to win the job out in New England. There's going to be a lot of rookie quarterbacks to start this season. Some of them will be great. Some of them probably not so much, but I think Jaden Daniels has the potential to be great. Daniels in, Minshew in, quarterback season is here. That does it for me today. That does it for us today. Does not do it for us this week. It does it for me this week, though. I am off the rest of the week. Joshy DiMaggio and Hunter are with you on Wednesday. Justice Mosqueda from Acme Packing Company, acmepackingco.com, will join Joshy to talk all things green of gold. Tony Cartagena will fill in for me on Friday. He's got you Friday beginning at 12:30. Both of those guys starting at 12:30 on Wednesday and Friday. ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Madison on YouTube, ESPN Madison on Facebook, and available wherever you get your podcast. I return to you next week as we get ready for the final 53 for the Packers. Enjoy the rest of your week. Enjoy Joshy. Enjoy Tony. If you don't enjoy him, you let me know. I'll never let him back. Just kidding. Maybe. We'll see. Thanks, Hunter. Thanks, Joshy. Thanks to all of you for hanging out. Looking forward to talking to you next week as we wrap up the preseason and get ready for regular season football. The next time I talk to you, preseason's over. That's exciting. Enjoy the week. We'll talk to you next week. It's Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strofe. Peace.